The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the things that you see in the teachings of the Urafa, and these are taken from the ahadith, I want to share the ahadith, is that instead of it being 0 to 60, because you know the first part of our talk is the idea of the ahkam reminder, right? And it should be part of that everybody is becoming more and more aware of the ahkam, the rulings, in order to show their loyalty to the imam of the time. What happens is the urafa don't take the 0 to 60 approach when it comes to ahkam. That children, when before I'm 8 and a half, I have nothing, and then suddenly at 9, now you come down to me. What they teach us is this. We as parents, before our children become baligh, we have to teach them the ahkam which they will encounter. So they should know how to, before bulugh, how to fast, how to pray, In order to do that, one of the things that we have to do, this is us as parents, again, advice from the Urafa, is our children need to hear from us and know that one day they will stand before Allah. That belief in the hereafter, that there's a last motivation for why I have to do the ahkam. That's something that we as parents need to introduce. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was looking at a group of children. When he was looking at this group of children, he said this, وَيْلٌ لِأَوْلَادِ آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ. Woe to the children of the people in the end of times from their fathers. Some of the mu'mineen, the believers, they said, their parents who are mushrikeen, the Prophet said, no, from their parents who are mu'mineen. What is so terrible about those parents in that time? What are we trying to avoid? He said this, لَا يُعَلِّمُونَهُمْ شَيْئًا مِّنَ الْفَرَائِذِ. They haven't taught their children their Islamic responsibilities. And then when the children learn on their own, وَإِذَا تَعَلَّمُوا أَوْلَادُهُمْ, when the children sometimes, they are motivated. That's one of the things that I really like to see in this community that we're in. I meet young people who are personally driven for Islam. The family might even be opposed. The family might not be supportive. But this person has chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, وَإِذَا تَعَلَّمُوا أَوْلَادُهُمْ. Sometimes the children learn on their own. The parents, these parents, مَنَعُوهُمْ. They prevent them from practicing Islam. Instead, the hadith continues, they're satisfied with a small, meager amount of the dunya from them. Sometimes worldly achievements. Are you a doctor? Are you a lawyer? Do you have a good job? What do people say about you? It says, شَيْءٌ بِعَرَضٍ يَسِيرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Sometimes these small worldly accomplishments are what the parents look for. Instead of what's really count, like Nabi Yaqub, when he told, don't die unless you're Muslims. The Prophet says that he says, I have nothing to do with them and they have nothing to do with me. The advice we get, from 7 lunar years, our children need to know how to make wudu. From 8, they should be praying regularly. From 8 lunar years. The hadith, Imam Ali says, عَلِّمُوا سِبْيَانَكُمَ الصَّلَاةِ. Teach your children how to pray. وَخُذُوهُمْ بِهَا. After that, you require this from them when they become 8. Then now, I'm not waiting until you're baligh to suddenly say, well, let's watch. No, you have to start learning and practicing. You already know how to do it. Encouragement, but then at 8, I'm supposed to start requiring this from you. So Again, the Urafa have another statement to make. Remember that first one was the idea of being aware of the hereafter, the day that I'm going to stand before God. What about the motivation for Salah? Our children should know I'm talking to God. Salah is that opportunity for me to address my Lord. The Urafa have advice over here, though. They say that our children need to learn from us about praying at the first time. Do our children see us rush through the prayer? What they're going to pick up is more from our actions than our words. The hadith says this, lisanul hal, our current state, the state that we're in, asdaqu min lisanil maqal. Our actions speak louder than our words. Our current state says a lot more than the words that we utter. If we want to train grandchildren to be the soldiers of the Imam of the time, how are we when it comes to our prayers? Do we pray? Do we take our time? Do we act as if we're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about fasting? Fasting, they say, is a little bit different. When our boys, because our girls become baligh at 9, when our boys are 9 years old, 9 lunar years old, they're supposed to be fasting. Fasting for them for the month of Ramadan. However, these fasts are such that the Ahlul Bayt teach us, they say that once they get hungry or thirsty, at that stage you let the children break their fast. It might be before Dhuhr, it might be, right? But just the idea of slowly, slowly getting used to it. Not that I end up, I've missed fasts, qadha, kafara, because nobody just explained to me how important these things were. So the Ahlul Bayt, the first part of the Ahadith, which I'm not going to mention, the Ahlul Bayt say, what was our practice with our children? Then after that they say, what should your practice be? It says, so command your children, when they, your boys, when they become 9, bisawm, to fast. Mastata'u min siyam al-yawm. So the amount that they're able to. And then when they become very thirsty, then at that stage you allow them to break their fast. So that's a little bit about that. The last part is the akhlaqi reminder. And the akhlaqi reminder is actually a trait that's very important for us to develop. And ideally, we want to develop this trait while we're still young. There's never an excuse for misbehaving. I can never say, well, I'm accustomed to doing this way. But what we hear from Imam Khomeini is the idea that if you start working on yourself while you're young, it's a lot easier. So, we talked before about the concept of working with a teacher, trying to make sure that we're receiving that one-on-one training. We're going to cover another one of those kind of big picture concepts and then inshallah jump right in. So one of the big picture concepts is the idea of listening to maw'idha. If I want to work on developing myself, one of the things that I want to expose myself to is I want to hear, I want to come to sessions like this or like other sessions that are there where I'm exposed to the teachings of Islam. Even if it's repetition, I want to hear it again and again. What we hear from our senior ulama. I want to give the example of Shaykh Al-A'zam Ansari. So Shaykh Ansari, as you know, was one of the greatest of our fuqaha who ever lived. One of the greatest of our maraja. We've talked before, I've shared before some of his spiritual station and how when he would visit Amir al-Mu'mineen, sometimes he would know when Imam Mahdi is there. And if the Imam gave permission, he would come in. This man used to sit at the feet of one of his students and hear mu'idha. Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul, would also, Imam Khomeini, who all of us know, he wanted to hear mu'idha, to be part of the audience I'm hearing from his student.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.